special meeting of the Cordova Recreation and Park District Board at 6:34 PM. Roll call, please.
Director Sloan?
Here.
Director Danzel?
Here.
Secretary Yearwood?
Here.
Vice Chair Reyes?
Here.
And Chair Lineback?
Here. And item B, the public comment.
Thank you. At a special meeting, the public comment period is limited to only those items described on this agenda per California Government Code. Members of the public may comment when the items are heard. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. The board is prohibited from discussing or taking action on any item not listed on this agenda.
And seeing no speakers here, we'll move on to item C, presentations.
Thank you. Item C1 is a presentation by CPRS President Tom Hellman of the Award of Excellence for the Cordova Community Pool Excellence in Design Facility Design category.
Could you please stand right there?
Absolutely. Good evening, Madam Chairperson, members of the board. Again, my name is Tom Hellman. I am the past president of CPRS now. I served as the 75th president of CPRS last year. And tonight I'm here representing CPRS to bestow the 2021 Award of Excellence to the Cordova Recreation and Park District. So few professions impact community or touch as many lives as parks and recreation. The California Park and Recreation Society annual awards celebrate outstanding examples of quality facility and park design, programming accomplishments, effective communications, community leadership, and professional successes that take place daily in our profession. This year, CPRS received 97 award nominations, and we're only awarding 40. The CPRS Award of Excellence recognizes outstanding achievement through demonstrating the three principles of challenge, resourcefulness, execution, accomplishment, and alignment with the Parks and Recreation mission. You should be proud that your project met these high standards for achieving excellence. Tonight, I present the Cordova Recreation Park District with the 2021 Award of Excellence for Facility Design for your beautiful Cordova Community Pool. As a side note, I was there during the Community Pool grand opening back in June.
Yes.
And beautiful facility. As an aquatic programmer for the last 20 years and in the field of parks and recreation, you have an outstanding gem of an aquatic center here in the community. This award that you're receiving is actually a one-of-a-kind art piece that is handcrafted by an LA-based nonprofit called Piece by Piece. Each piece that CPRS receives is handcrafted and individualized for the award recipient. At Piece by Piece, people who are low income and or previously unhoused are invited to learn mosaic art form, and then given the opportunity to share their craft by making pieces like this one that you're receiving tonight. Piece by Piece also assists artists in starting their own businesses, and CPRS is proud to offer these unique awards to our award winners while also helping a sister nonprofit in the community. So with that,
cool.
Madam Chair, would you like to come on?
We're going to do a photo op, and then we'll make it official for the paper, so if everyone can get up. Maybe, Shelby, what's good for photo? I know that.
We'll the logo in the background.
Yeah, logo in the background.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be
fine. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Observing team here, you guys, you know, really worked so hard and soul into this project. Yay.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate the recognition very, very much.
Well, on another side note, just for you all, my nephew will be joining you for some lessons.
Yeah, all right, so you get a chance to visit.
No pressure.
Often.
Yeah, no pressure. I'll be conducting audits, Patrick.
You better be doing laps by the end of his first starfish class, I guess, right?
Okay, so back from the photo up, we're on item D, public hearing.
Thank you. Item D1 is public hearing number 5, receive public input on the proposed final voting district map and sequence of elections for a potential transition from at-large to by-district elections for the Board of Directors pursuant to the California Voting Rights Act.
Okay, so I'm going to open this public hearing at 6:41 p.m.
Thank you. So I just wanted to note that the proposed final map associated with this item was published on April 20th. Elections Code requires the district to hold 5 public hearings prior to adoption of a resolution converting from at-large to by-district elections. This is the 5th and final public hearing. I wanted to also note that following public hearing number 4, additional board member questions were answered directly by Redistricting Insights regarding district boundary lines reflected on draft map 4. I submitted the proposed final map to Sacramento County for review of consistency with census tracts and voter registration and election needs. And then Redistricting Insights worked directly with Sacramento County to review and confirm the proposed final map. The updated final map, at the March 16th hearing, the board directed the consultant to amend draft map 4 to reflect districts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 clockwise from the top of the map. And the board gave direction on sequence of elections for voting districts up for election in 2022 to be districts 1, 2, and 5. And with that, I'll turn it over to our consultant, Fabian, to lead us through the presentation of the map.
Nice to see all of you in person. I know I looked like a Max Headroom face on a screen for a while, but now I'm a real person. I'm just going to kind of walk through this. I think you've all seen this before. This shouldn't be anything new, but just so we can reiterate what it is, and you can see it in, again. This is the proposed map. This should be, if you recall, when we first started this process, the boundaries looked a little weird because we were including census tracts and census blocks that anything your district touched. So this is now the final clipped map. So this is down to your actual boundaries. So some of the little areas off the bottom that you'd seen in the last iterations, we cut them off, just so you understand that. Again, this is the map you voted on. Colorations, I'm gonna go through them. Starting with the red one on the top, that's 1. Moving to the purple is 2. Then down, the yellow one's 3. The green one's 4. And the blue one on the left is 5. District 1, or Division 1, are we calling them divisions?
District.
District, okay, so District 1. As you can see, this is that Rancho Cordova, kind of the top part of Rancho Cordova. That includes the old area of Rancho Cordova as well. District 2, this has that little sliver that comes down through the freeway and grabs a little bit of Rancho Cordova down there. Most of it's all of Gold River, and then the chunk that kind of comes out toward the east, on the northeast of the entire district. District 3, this has all the Anatolia going down, Sunrise, all that area, Rancho Cordova, as well as the portion of Rancho Cordova that comes, as you can see, just comes around and scoops in. This was done, again, as a reminder, this was done for population purposes to make sure we were trying to get populations and not split too many communities. District 4, this is the Mather, as well as a little portion of Rancho Cordova here, and then La Riviera. So it kind of takes La Riviera, comes down through Rancho, and then grabs all of Mather. There's a little portion of Mather here, I believe, which is not in it, but the majority of Mather, including the airport and the other side, are. And then last, District 5, this is Rosemont. It goes all of Rosemont, coming down underneath the Mather airport, and then grabs a little bit of Mather right here. This map, as it was drawn, as we have it, you can see the total deviation up top. The third line deviation, in case you can't read it, I'll read it out to you. District 1, 0.1% under. District 2, 1.2% under. District 3, 2.7% over. District 4, 3% over. And District 5, 4.4% under. So our total deviation is 7.4%. That's basically from that 3 over to 4.4 under. Total deviation 7.4%. That's a pretty good number. We always, when we do this process with any districts or any communities that are doing this, we always try to say aim for under 8, which is, you know, that's where you kind of, no one's going to really legally challenge you too much at that point. When you're under 8, you're in pretty good shape, and you guys have obviously accomplished that at 7.4. So any questions, or do you want to look at anything in particular again?
When I zoomed in, and you really couldn't tell what the streets were on this.
So I'm just to
public hearing. That's right.
Yeah, to follow the process of the public hearing.
Sir, please, yeah.
Now is where the public has an opportunity to give input if they wish. I don't see any public here, So we're going to close this public.
One moment, sorry. Just wanted to note for the record that the board received written public comment, which has been entered into the record.
Okay, thank you. And so now we'll close this public hearing at 6:46 PM. And we'll start with you, Director Sloan.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the previous meeting, we were able to zoom in and.
Yeah, did you want me to bring up the Google Maps so you can zoom in again? Give me one second. Let me actually pull that up.
And then just to the record. Because.
This is the map here. Yep, this is the one here. So I just want to make sure I had the right one for us. So any place in particular, I'm going to turn on the street view so you can see a little better. Any place in particular that you'd like me to zoom in so we can see a little better?
Do you have your cursor?
Right there.
Well, I want to see, that's my.
This is May the Regional Park right here.
Right, I just wanted to see this. Now go to the left. Keep going.
Close this.
Do you get the Bradshaw? Go up, I guess. Okay, wait, up. No, I mean, down.
Oh, sorry.
Map up,
I'm sorry.
So, right to here where the purple meets the
right
color.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. The color, yeah, go up. Now that way, that's, zoom into that street there.
Old Placerville Road right
okay.
here.
Okay.
This is Old Placerville Road.
So zoom to the left this way, I want to see it.
And it follows Old Placerville Road down to Bradshaw,
okay.
Right?
We'll make sure it was the shopping center was in.
Yes, we talked about that. This is that grocery outlet area right here. We talked about it, right?
Okay. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Do we have that link?
Yes.
If not, we can definitely provide
yes.
it.
Where will we have it?
Yeah, if you in your Cordova email, the link.
I have link for February 15th.
And it's actually on the website.
It's on the website.
If you actually go to our website, it's there.
Yeah.
Don't do it on your phone though, because nope. You'll end up doing what I did, and I can't figure out. I have map one is now on my phone, and I cannot get it to remove off of my phone.
I'm sorry.
So I'm like,
okay, there are colors in my in Rancho now. Whenever you're driving, so, it's going to have the colors.
Yeah.
Director Danzo?
I do. So in Ms. Jones's presentation, she said after public hearing four, there was a question. That was my question. Can you go back into that for us, if you remember? Pretty sure you do.
This area right up in here?
Up from there. So,
yeah, it was right
thank you.
Here, right?
So I brought up the fact that anybody who's lived in this area knows that Sun River is its own walled-off community. And there is that line of trees that's at a diagonal.
Yeah, you can see it coming right
yeah.
down here.
And I brought it to Patrick's attention and said, hey, is there a way we can change this for, you know, to make it cleaner so that a whole community truly is a whole community? And Fabian was able to show me the reason that can't be done, because if he goes off of census districts and actually takes those on the those two streets in the middle,
yeah.
in the purple there or in the red there, that would actually put those into the other district
yeah.
along with all those other houses.
Essentially, the census geography follows Oakton Way around
yeah.
and around Benita and around. So it would come out and it would stick this little finger out and grab them. And so the option is either you're grabbing this or you're grabbing this. Either way, it's not as clean as we would
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be clean. So when it was talked about, I suggested we just leave it. I mean, that's obviously where we chose. But I wanted to, you know, let the board know that things like that. And there's another one down a little bit further in
yeah.
that area right there. That you've got that main road, and then it cuts off those, you know, 12 houses right there directly above where your cursor is.
Right.
All because of a census district, so.
It's like block, like Jenga blocks.
Yeah,
and so like, you can't really move the census block.
Yeah. Otherwise, the lines get really jagged and crazy, and then we've got lots of math and, well, lots
yeah.
of math.
Unfortunately, when we draw any type of districts, we have to use census numbers. That's the only numbers we have.
Yeah.
And when the census gives us a population for a block, that's it. We don't know, if you were to cut the block in half, how many are on either side. So we have to just use the blocks whole. The only times we're ever able to really cut them is if it's a zero population block. Say it's in the middle of the desert and there's no one there. Nobody really cares if you cut that in half, there's no one living in it. But unfortunately, these are dense communities. We cut that, we don't know what we're doing to the population, so we're just not really able to do it and be confident in our numbers at that point.
But yeah, I just wanted the board to know that, you know, if somebody does look at this later and say, hey, why is Sun River? That was the obvious one for me, is Sun River, because growing up here, knowing there's a, that is a community of its own, if somebody were to say, hey, why is this way? That is why it is that way. So I just wanted to make the board aware of
that.
What's that?
We learned.
Yeah, we did learn from that.
For what it's worth, I believe you actually, when the census comes around in 10 years, I think you can petition the census to fix that and say, hey, they redraw these blocks every 10 years. So you can tell them, hey, fix that block.
Well, yeah, because Rancho Cordova's the Park District's population at that point was, in 10 years from now, is going to be much larger, mm-hmm. and those numbers are going to have to change anyway. So boundaries in 10 years are going to change, or 8 years.
So who petitions the census for?
It's basically when the census comes, they request a lot of different information from counties. So it would be Sacramento County. Sacramento County provides, you know, the shapes basically of all the cities, community or census designated places, like, you know, Gold River, Rosemont, these types of places. They say these are the lines for them, and the census takes those, and then they'll take the full block and they'll say, okay, this is the entire place. Let's cut it up based on what we think. This little area, this little area, this little area. And they try to hit these basic, they have some criteria. So when it comes back in 10 years, essentially what you would do is say, hey, last time you had this block, just put a line there and make it two blocks. And they usually are like, yeah, fine, we'll do that. You can say, look, there's obviously a natural boundary there. It's a wall. There's a line of trees. Yeah. You know, they're not the same community. We'd like it if you cut it because it makes things easier for us. And yeah, census, yeah, I mean, they're usually pretty good about doing that kind of stuff.
Those are physical boundaries. Just like the top left over there, the purple boundary, those houses aren't part of Sun River. Those are... You know,
yeah, right here.
Houses that should be.
And again, this was another part where this block actually comes all the way up here.
Yeah.
And it would have grabbed like all these folks out as well.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, they get weird census geography.
Well, and also we were discussing that line. The tree line was actually backyards. They were not an actual road. So you can't cut someone's backyard. And
right.
So that was interesting too.
Yeah.
And
say stand on the
corner.
Right.
So that guy on the other side of my yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
my dog lives in District 2.
Right.
He lives in.
She gets a separate vote. Yeah.
What? Yes. But,
I don't have any questions or comments.
No? Okay.
Chair Lambert, I just wanted to support Director Denzel in this setting because I do remember that there were very strong public that wanted to keep communities.
Okay.
And so it is important, it was important for us to try and look into that situation and to know the reason why. And for it to be recorded in public that there was an effort to keep that community together, because Sun River might say, well, why do I belong here and you belong there? You know what I mean?
Right.
And in this respect, we can literally tell them the census did this, and this is the reason why it's the case, and maybe in 10 years it may change.
Right.
But thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, I was thinking that if the county is the one that provides that information to the Census Bureau, that it might be a suggestion, you know, that the Park District could make for the next census.
For the Sun River neighborhood.
I mean, who knows how receptive they'll be to that, but you can always try.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put it on my calendar 10 years from now.
That's right. You probably want to start like 8 years.
You're going to see it.
He said he's putting it on
more realistic.
Yeah, it's on his vision.
That's on my vision.
To do.
Yeah. I would love to see in 8-9 years when you're sitting here, you're this pop up comes up. What is this?
I have a good mind. I will remember.
I don't have any questions about the map itself. Yeah, I guess unless there are any other questions or comments from the board, there's no action on this item, is that correct? So,
there's no action.
The next one has the action, I believe. So we'll move on now to item E, regular calendar vote.
Thank you. Item E1 is to adopt resolution 21/22-39, approving by-district elections for the Board of Directors of the Cordova Recreation and Park District, commencing November 8th, 2022, in furtherance of the purposes of the California Voting Rights Act. And just a quick background, as you know, the district has conducted 5 public hearings. At public hearing number 4 on March 16th, draft map 4 was favored by the board as a proposed final map. After it is chosen the final voting map, the board must also decide which voting districts will be up for election in 2022 and 2024. At the last meeting, it was mentioned districts 1, 2, and 5 would be up for election in 2022. But I just want to note that the board is not beholden to that direction. The board can also decide, if it wants to designate all five voting districts up for election in 2022. But there is a combination that you would have to decide on for staggered terms in that case. Or you could just stick with what was mentioned at the last meeting, districts 1, 2, and 5. For the fiscal impact, if all 5 voting districts are up for election in 2022, elections costs could exceed $100,000. Thank you.
So is that $20,000 per district essentially?
I think so.
Director Slaw, do you have any questions about this item?
Well, I'm hoping that we do what you just said, what we decided on the last meeting.
Okay, that's
right. The 3 people that are up for election could be running in 2022. Okay.
None now.
Secretary, I'm going with that. Secretary, you're right.
The only question I have is more that we do agree to do this is how are we going to convey this to people that we're going to buy districts? Because, you know, when everybody's stuff comes out and they go start voting and they're going, hey, how come I only see this person and I don't see other people I'm used to seeing? How do we, does the county and the voter guide put in here saying, hey, by the way, these guys aren't, you know, here's your boundaries, here's who, you know, that kind of thing? Would there be something like that to explain why? In theory, the 3 that are up this year, you won't see all 3 of those names on your ballot. We'll communicate that somehow.
Right. That's why we're working so closely with the county so that they can come up with the voter guide specific to by districts.
So it'll be on the voting description, how you get, like, why you're seeing who you're seeing here.
Okay. So there'll be a little education.
Yeah, it's more of a county thing, but we can also, you know, help promote that as well. That transition. So Fabian, do you have examples of how a district you worked with in the past communicated that change publicly?
Actually, yeah, you are right. The county has typically taken care of it when it comes to most of these types of things. I can think of a few different ones where we worked, where they went to district from at large to district. The county, most recently, one of those, we worked in National City, worked in Chico. Chico, if you know, city of Chico went to by district from at large. Those ones are cities, and typically in cities, it's much more high profile. You know, everyone in the city knows this is happening, it's a big deal. And so those ones, it's the city has, you know, their own kind of press team out doing the thing. For the smaller special districts that have done this type of thing, typically they post the press release that goes out in their local papers that they normally do. They definitely put stuff on their website saying, you know, hey, we moved to by district. Click here to see where your new area is. Sometimes they'll put like the Google map up like we provided and say, you know, you can zoom in and see where you're at now. And then it's beholden on the county to really explain to the voters, hey, you are now in district 2. Okay. And you have to vote for these people now.
All right.
I have no questions or comments.
I have a question. In the resolution itself, you know, you're saying that we could either do, you know, 3 and 2, or we could say we could do all 5, and then just designate which ones are 2-year and 4-year. But it also says on item E, section 2, Notwithstanding any other provision of this section, each of the directors in office at the time this resolution takes effect shall continue in office until the expiration of the full term to which he or she was elected and until his or her successor is qualified. So how can we vote 2-year and 4-year by putting them all in the same election and still satisfy this provision that the ones who are have only served so far, you know, for 2 years, are entitled to another 2 years? How do we do both of those at the same time?
That is a good question. I don't know if Bob has any insight on that or Fabian and your experience.
I have a little bit of insight on it, but I'm not a lawyer, so please don't quote me as being a legal expert on this. My understanding from what I've seen in past areas, typically when that happens, if you were going to put everything up, the person who, say, has only served 2 years and they want to run for the next 2, a lot of times what's required is they resign and then they, after their resignation, they're on the ballot. So basically you can run while you're still an elected person. Mm-hmm. After you win, you resign and then assume your new role kind of right away. That's one way it's happened. If they were to lose that election and someone else were to win it, I'm not sure what would happen. That's a lawyer question. Because then you have two people kind of elected at the same time. You have a board of 15 maybe. So I don't know how that would all work.
I think they wanted to give you options, I guess, is what ultimately they were trying to get at, I would imagine, at the county.
Yeah.
Instead of dictating this is what you need to do, they were trying to give an option if you want to extend that option or not. Everyone has different circumstances, I guess.
We kind of agreed that only the 3 that are up this year would go by district, and the 2 that aren't would just stay in their
I agree, but the language in this resolution basically says we don't care what you pass in this resolution, notwithstanding what this resolution says, the people who are entitled to 2 more years still get their 2 more years. So we may be passing a resolution that says 3 and 2, but I just don't see how the 2 could be in the same.
Do you think we should strike the language associated with the
I guess it's legal
option.
Language about
is it? I don't know if you know.
I'm not aware of any decisional law that addresses the issue, but I would have 2 minutes to look at it.
Okay. The only part about striking it is in that same paragraph at the end. I have another question about a vacancy in a director's seat elected by district shall be filled by a person qualified to hold the office consistent with applicable law. That's very nonspecific about
because
how that
of the same district.
Is that to leave our options open from election to election, or what's the applicable law?
I think the applicable law would be Public Resources Code that we're established under for how the board is elected.
Because normally, right, we do things like say there'll be a coin toss or it's stipulated that the members of the existing board would appoint.
Okay.
And,
typically, what I've seen is this kind of falls back on whatever your current bylaws are that you have set up for your board that lets you take that action. If any resignation would result, the board gets to appoint in that case. I think that continues on, goes. But if you move to district elections, that does, I don't believe, and the lawyer would have to look into this, I don't believe that means you have to hold a special election. You can still appoint until the end of that term, and then the election would go on.
It's just somebody that is from that district.
Yeah,
that
at that point, you'd be a resident of that area, and that would be that qualification.
This can't be at large.
Do you appoint until the end of the term, or do you appoint until the next regular election?
I don't know that.
Typically, we've done that term, right?
That term, yeah.
When?
That's what we've done in the past here, right?
Mm-hmm. And when?
We do have the language for like the coin toss situation in our consolidation
right.
item, which is coming later.
That's a little different.
But we can.
This is about filling vacancies outside the regular election cycle.
So in our policy, our board policies, we also have a section related to this as well that I recall. I don't know offhand. What the language is, but we address how to go about.
Well, basically, the county says, you know, you have to do it within 60 days.
Right,
we're
exactly.
Going to appoint somebody.
Correct.
I just didn't know if by district elections changes that because all these seats are at large. They were being appointed by at-large directors.
I would say the only probably stipulation that would be different is that the appointed person would need to represent the area to which it's being resigned.
Probably take on the same as the county supervisor.
We probably could amend our policies to reflect this change, so that it's crystal clear that we're not electing or appointing, I should say, anyone at large for some vacancy in any one particular district. Yeah, so we can amend that in the policy and make sure that the county is on board with that's the way we're planning on moving forward. I think that's intuitive. We would never, you know, elect someone at large as the only person on the board that isn't representing a specific district as to how they're elected.
No, I know. No, it's more the opposite, is that why should a director that doesn't represent the district of the vacancy be able to appoint a vacancy for a district they don't represent?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that, I mean, we can look at it, and I think legally, that's probably a question.
I lost you there. So are we talking about if a vacancy occurs between one of the at-large?
No, in a by district.
In a district?
Okay.
How can an other district elect, appoint someone into another district with that person?
The district that they don't represent. So if I were to keel over in the middle of my term, why would the Gold River representative have the authority to appoint the Rosemont representative?
Well, the remaining board members.
Or the remaining board members.
Not just one.
Well, we have the not that district.
Well, collectively as a board, you represent the entire district, so I would imagine that the remaining board members would represent for that vacancy on behalf of the board that position. Yeah, it wouldn't be one individual.
No, but I understand where Terry's coming from.
I do too.
At the same time, the district can turn around and go, that's fine. If somebody did have a problem with it, because this is the way we've done at large, the district could go back to the voters of, say, your district five, and say, okay, you don't like what the board decided, we can go to a special election, but.
So what I would recommend is we amend our policies related to that specifically. And then once, if we choose to land this tonight, then we would go back and update the policies going forward for the next policy committee.
I'm wondering if it would be horrible to strike point B and deal with those questions by policy. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think, I don't think anything you're talking about, the question you're asking deviates, causes you to deviate more from your than I.
Correct.
Yeah, I think, listen to these questions, they're fair questions. There are statutory schemes that govern appointment, when there's a vacancy in office, timing issues based on where elections are, and.
Not necessarily needed to be in this resolution.
Right, doesn't need to be in the resolution, and what we can do is, we can make note of these questions, and then we can get a, together a frequently asked questions or answers to questions about contingencies about what ifs.
Okay. Update our policies, ask the county, how do they handle the situation, make sure we're in the same practice.
And then it gives me a little bit of time, but we can give you a refresh over codes to talk about appointment, because it's statutory authority that dictates who appoints and the timing of the election when there's a vacancy in office, and whether it can be by appointment or whether there has to be an election that's called. There are statutory schemes that govern this, so I can lay that stuff out and give you a look.
Good point. Yeah.
So you're asking to strike E for the time being?
Yeah, so I'm asking to, well, I, you know, up front, I'm not opposed to this resolution, I'm just asking that it be amended by removing item E from section two. Those are my comments and questions. And now that nobody is obligated to make that motion, does anybody want to make a motion on this resolution, and what would they like that motion to be?
So I have a question. Does the resolution have to, or when we say we want to pass the resolution, do we have to talk about the, which terms and all that? Is that already all covered?
Yeah, our goal is to make sure that the board agrees on which districts are up for election in November 2022 and then in 2024.
And that's stipulated in items B and C.
Of the resolution?
Of the resolution.
Of the resolution.
Okay, so that's already in there. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll try to read through all.
So when making a motion, refer to B and C to make the motion legitimate, right?
Well, it's already within this resolution.
So I'll attempt.
Yeah.
I'll attempt to make a motion here. So I move that we adopt resolution 21/22-39. approving, do we say approving by-district elections of the Board of Directors of Cordova Recreation and Park District commencing November 8, 2022, with the amendment of striking out item E. And that's it, with the amendment of striking out item E. In furtherance of the purposes of the California Voting Rights Act.
Thank you.
So moved.
Vice Chair Reyes, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Danzel. Last call vote, please.
Director Sloan?
Yes, sir. I think that would project. Aye.
Director Danzel?
Aye.
Secretary Yearwood?
Aye.
Vice Chair Reyes?
Aye.
And Chair Lineback?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fabian.
Thank you, Fabian.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Okay, guys. That I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we're now moving on to item F, our closed session.
Thank you. Item F1 is a conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to California Government Code Section 54956.9, Cordova Recreation and Park District versus the City of Rancho Cordova, Sacramento Superior Court Case Number 34-2021-8000-3705.
Okay, so we are going to closed session at 7:13 p.m.
Then where did it?